That we had the last couple of weeks. So far, we're looking at victory in Jesus over temptation. Now, let's not pull any punches. We talked about this already. All of us get tempted every day. Okay, so not pull any punches. Now, let's not pull any punches about this either. There are three basic ways that Satan tempts us: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that's what we're talking about right now. Those are successful. Very, very successful. And we're going to talk a little bit about that here in just a minute. By the way, if you know something works, why try something else?
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Bruner had made those Bruner bars. It works. So why try anything else? People like it. I've not seen him bring anything else. Have you brought anything else to any fellowships? You bought some other things? Was it as much of a hit as the Bruner bars were? It was? What was it? Yes, it's just about peanut butter, amen. So you tapped into the thing, peanut butter. People like peanut butter-based things. And so it was a hit. And so if it works, why try anything different, amen? It's a combination that works. And so Satan has a combination that works, and it is called the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. By the way, can we get the victory over temptation?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
Can.
Are we going to be tempted the rest of our lives? Yes. There's only going to be one point when we're not going to be tempted. That's when we get to heaven. We get our new glorified bodies. Amen. So we praise God for that. And that would be, we might get tempted there. We won't fall for it until the devil gets locked up. Once the devil gets locked up, then it won't be anything to worry about anymore. Amen. So this old body of ours, we gave you the points here. Roman number one is the pattern of the tempter. So if you got your book there, the pattern of the tempter. And we found that Jesus was tempted as well.
Yep.
Number A, letter A, was the temptation of the flesh. We talked about that last week, the temptation of the flesh. Temptation of the flesh. How many were tempted to hit the snooze button this morning?
Yes, sir, Pastor.
How many have just been tempted to lie and not mention it? Admit it. Amen. So I don't have a snooze button. I've got one, and I was tempted to hit it, and I yielded to temptation. I'm sad to say. Amen. And but I did finally get up out of the bed. Amen. How many were tempted to sleep a little longer than normal this morning?
Oh, yeah.
Is that a sin, though?
I know, Mrs. Dawson.
Is it a sin to hit the...
No, it's not. It's just a temptation. Because we said it for a reason. Unless you set it really early so you can sit headed on purpose. But I'm just trying to see, we are tempted in all ways to do certain things.
Sir.
Not necessarily, this is not evil, just a temptation. Yes.
It can be sin.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah. Now, how can hitting my snooze button be sin?
If it makes you late, then I guess.
If it makes you late. Now, is being late a sin? If it's your boss, it is. Yes, Diana. There you go. Basically, the hitting of the snooze button is not so much a sin. It is what it will cause down the line when you have done that and now you are pressed for time and you leave out things or you forget things or, God forbid, we get in the flesh about something and it was our fault that we got up late. So hitting of the snooze button in and of itself is not sin, but it can cause some sinful things if we're not careful. Okay, so not every temptation out there is sin, okay? But there are some that can lead to sin. So we saw the temptation of the flesh there. And what is the big danger about the flesh? What's the big danger about the flesh? And why is it so easily tempted?
It's always with us.
It's always with us, amen?
Yes, it is.
What else?
Can't get away from it.
Can't get away from it? Does it have basic needs?
Yes.
It needs food. It needs water. It needs companionship. It needs shelter. It needs to be taken care of. And so with those basic needs, what will Satan often play on against us? Remember I mentioned, I always say this to the teenagers. They're basic needs. But the devil will try to get you to fulfill basic needs in the wrong way.
Yep.
Try to get you to do the right thing in the wrong way. Was it a sin to turn bread or stones into bread?
Yes.
No.
No.
What was the sin about it? Doing it at the devil's request. The devil says, you're hungry, and so here, do this. Or he may say to someone, you're hungry, go steal. Or you're hungry, go knock over, you know, a grocery store or something like that and go buy some food. Or you want some money, so go rob somebody. Those are all wrong things, but the basic need is there. And Satan wants to capitalize on the basic need. So the temptation of the flesh is what we talked about last week. B is the temptation of ambition or the eyes. And that's what we're going to look at right now. Notice Luke chapter number 4. And notice verse number 5, because Satan here now has Jesus at a weak point. Will all of you agree that after being 40 days, according to verse number 2, and not eating anything, you would be hungry and weak? What did I mention? When you're at your weakest is when Satan only is going to be at his strongest against you.
Yes.
Why? He's going to capitalize on your weakness.
Yes, he is.
Wouldn't you?
Yep.
I mean, if you got an opponent and you want to beat your opponent, you would aim at their weakness.
Yes.
You're not going to aim at their strength. That's not smart for you. So you're going to aim at the weakness. So Jesus is definitely physically tired here and being in the wilderness here. But notice verse number 5 and 6. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him. Notice that, showed unto him. So this is something that he is seeing, showed unto him. And then notice what he showed him. All the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. So he showed him something. This next temptation that many of us have, well, all of us have, is just to what degree, is the lust of the eyes.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
I mentioned this before a couple weeks ago. Ladies like to do what?
Window shop. Yep.
Now, what is the good part about window shopping? You're not buying anything. Anybody can window shop. You can look at the puppy through the door. You know, my faith, like, say, I want a puppy. I say, okay, let's go look at one. Okay, we look at the puppy. Okay, but now we're going home. We're not buying the puppy, you know. We can look at the whatever it is, but we're not buying anything. So nothing wrong with window shopping. But now what is the temptation to window shopping?
You're coveting.
You're coveting, which may lead to buying. Which means I may get something that I, A, don't need, or don't have money for. My son right now, he tickles me. He said, Dad, you know, you need to get a Mustang GT. I said, son, I have no earthly reason to get a Mustang GT.
Amen.
He said, well, yeah, you do. I said, why? He said, then I can have it. I said, no. No. I said, that's for a younger person that has no children or whatever. And, you know, I said, maybe when I get to be 60 or whatever and I don't have you guys to take care of, then me and mommy can go drive that GT. I said, but right now I don't have a need for that. In his mind, he's like, well, I see it and I want it. And Joshua, I didn't know this was a car, a Bugatti. Anybody knows what a Bugatti is? Julie, what's a Bugatti? Spansley, and I thought they were just making something up. I want a Bugatti. Boy, stop that foolishness, you know, Bugatti. And it's a real car, Dad. It's real expensive, too. Amen. So we have no need for a Bugatti. Or is that, am I saying it right? Bugatti? Sounds Italian. Is it Italian? Figures. Amen. I don't need a Bugatti, so I'm not going to shop for a Bugatti. Okay. So the temptation of the eyes, or the temptation of ambition, as the lesson calls it, is great here on Jesus. And so he shows them this, and he shows them the kingdoms of the world. By the way, was it the purpose of Jesus Christ to come to the world to have the kingdoms of the world? Was that his purpose? What was Jesus's purpose? To come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Yes.
Luke 19:10. That's his mission. So what is going on here? Now, is he going to get all the kingdoms of the world? Yes. Hold your finger there. Look back into Revelation. Revelation chapter 11. Revelations chapter 11 and verse 15. Somebody read that for me. 11:15. Who's got 11:15? Read that. Katie?
Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.
Okay, so there is coming a time when the kingdoms will be delivered. Yep. But guess what? That was after his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That is after the church has been raptured out. And that is during the tribulation time when it's going to finally be delivered to him. And he's going to rule and reign in Jerusalem for a time period. So it is coming. So what is Satan trying to do? Circumvent the system. Let's just cut it short a little bit. By doing what? Showing him something. What happens to most young people now? God shows them the opposite sex. Uh-huh. And instead of having a commitment to marry and marriage and then have children, what does he like to get them to do? Circumvent the system. Let's get together intimately before marriage. And so that's his ploy to get them to do something that ultimately is a part of the plan. But I'm going to get you to circumvent the system here. Okay. What is the natural thing now with the Olympics to get these athletes to do what? To cheat by using what?
Drugs,
steroids. So instead of actually doing the legwork and the exercise to get here, I circumvent the system by putting supplements in my body that will increase my bulk and my muscle and my speed.
Yep.
How many of y'all remember long years ago? Remember that the British guy, Ben Johnson,
mm-hmm.
won all those awards and they found out that he had been doing some, was he Canadian? He'd be Canadian. Had been doing the doping and all that stuff. I mean, that's embarrassing.
Yep.
And who was that? Lance Armstrong, they're saying now he did some of that doping. I mean, all those Tour de France's that he won. That's embarrassing. All to do what? I see something that I want, some ambition, and I circumvent the system. Instead of doing it the right way, Satan gives me an avenue that I can circumvent. And that's not good. So, by the way, notice this phrase that Satan says here. Verse number 6, the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me and to whomsoever I will give it.
Mm-hmm.
Whomsoever I will give it. Does Satan have some authority right now? Yeah. Exactly. By the way, when Adam and Eve fell, Satan had the advantage
yes, sir,
over the world. Why did he have the advantage over the world?
Because the Holy Spirit
was. Well, the Holy Spirit's still here. But why did he have the advantage over the world?
He was,
but now he didn't have the advantage until what happened?
Until
man fell.
Right.
When man fell, Satan had the advantage. And now man was like Pinocchio, a puppet. And so I can manipulate man now by his flesh, by his eyes, and by his pride. And so Satan fell, and so he has jurisdiction over this area, and he caused us to fall too. Go down to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And verse number 30. Somebody read that for me, verse number 30, 14. Stephen?
Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in
me. Okay. He says that the prince of this world cometh.
Mm-hmm.
So who is that? That's Satan.
So
he has a certain amount of jurisdiction over the world. Now, ultimately, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But he has some control and some jurisdiction. So he said, by the way, can Satan give gifts? Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
He gives some good gifts that'll keep you away from God. And he'll give you some good things that'll get you out of the will of God. He'll give you some great things. And by the way, he knows what makes each one of us tick. He knows what it is that he can give you that you will put before God to get out of the will of God. Or he'll put it over here, knowing that the will of God is here. He'll put it here. And so where will you go? That way. And which way should you be going? This way. So Satan is, he's no dummy. He'll put it just enough out of the reach of the will of God for you. Sometimes he'll put it right on this path here. And he'll say this, it's going in the same direction. But is it still really going in the same direction? I should be going this path.
Yeah.
And I've jumped over on this path. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm not going in the right direction. So Satan is no dummy. And so we're looking at the temptation of ambition or the temptation of the eyes. He showed him these things. And by the way, we talked about this last week. Did Adam and Eve fall the same way? Look back into Genesis just for a second. Genesis chapter number 3. Now, the key word that we saw over in Luke that we pointed out was he showed him the kingdoms of the world. Luke chapter number 3, notice verse number 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the what?
Eyes.
Did she get taken by the eyes? Yes, she did.
Yes.
She's doing window shopping. But now she's not actually just doing window shopping. She's talking to the sales clerk.
Yes, sir.
And the sales clerk is about to get her in a contract and bamboozle her. And now she's going to lose.
Yep.
So Jesus was tempted in the same way that we were, the lust of the flesh and now the lust of the eyes. And so when she saw that the tree was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she did what? She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat as well. By the way, we often get tripped up by what we see. What are some things that we see that we get tripped up by? The eyes. What do we get to waste? Is this?
Chocolate?
Could be chocolate. Beauty? Just the other day, we were watching the news, and of course, a beer commercial came on.
Oh, no.
And G2 said, "Daddy, why do they always make the beer commercials look so attractive?" I said, "That's Satan's ploy. He wants you to think that drinking this will make you like that, or drinking this will give you this, or drinking this will make you this." I said, "They won't show you the people that are drunkards. The people that are drunk driving, that have no license, that have killed people, that have domestic violence." I said, "They're not going to show you that. They're not going to show you the death row people that are, you know, in the gutter somewhere. They're not going to show that. They're not going to show you all that." I said, "Because that doesn't sell." Yeah, exactly. It's all a party. And so he picked up quickly. He said, "They make it look so good." What are they doing? Attracting your eyes. What else gets our eyes? Diana? Wealth of other people. We see how the Joneses are living. Anybody in here last name Jones?
Yeah.
I couldn't do that in Belgium because we had a family in there named the Joneses. So we couldn't get away with that. Amen. But looking at the Joneses and what the Joneses have, and you know, and look what they have, and look what they've got, and look what they do. And they've got this car, and they've got this pool, and they've got this jacuzzi, and they've got this dress, and they've got these shoes, and they've got this golf club, and on and on and on it goes. And we see it.
Uh-huh.
And what does Satan say to us oftentimes? You could have that too. If you only whatever, put it on the plastic card. And what he will say is, you're going in the will of God. Just deviate just a little bit off and you can have that too. Now, he doesn't tell you what the other folks went through to get what they have. Doesn't tell you that they saved up for a long time to get what they have. Doesn't tell you they paid cash for it. Doesn't tell you all that. It just says, you can have it too. Get some credit cards.
Yes, sir.
Bling, bling. Get in debt. Everybody does it. We're a capitalistic society. Who cares if you have debt? It's only 10% interest. It's only 15% interest. It's only 20% interest, and it keeps going up. You're thinking, glory, I'm paying more for the interest than anything else. What else gets us in trouble with our eyes? The obvious, nudity. You know, that's why most churches have standards. Amen. Nudity. Why does flesh attract?
Hey. To observe, there are beautiful things in the world that are, you know, our flesh is going to be attracted to. There's good that comes out of it, but Satan twists it and uses it for the bad.
Katie hit the nail on the head. We are attracted because God made us that way. To be physically attracted one to another, but you're supposed to be attracted to only one other. But now nudity sets in and Satan says, "Hey, look, you're attracted to flesh, aren't you? So show more of this and show more of this and show more of that and show more of this and show more of everything." And then you attract someone in the wrong way. And so Satan knows that ultimately it is a gift of God to be attracted to the opposite, because he wants mating to happen in relationships where they're committed. He wants that to happen, but not the way we do it. And so nudity is his way of perverting everything.
Yes, sir, it is.
It really is. And so they say this, sex sells. Now, men, let's just be honest.
Yeah.
When you're watching something on TV and you see some flesh, your eyeballs go. And you've got to discipline your eyes to say, I cannot look at that. Or I've got to turn away from that. I've got to turn that off because it's going to pop up.
Yes,
you're going to be driving down the street. We take our kids to school using Aho Way all the time. There's a big billboard over there that says pull apart parts. Anybody seen that billboard up there? And my son said, Daddy, that is so immoral and immodest. Look at that. And I said, son, let's try not to look at that. You say, well, what is it a picture of? Trust me, you don't want to know. It's an ad advertising junk parts.
Ooh.
But it's got a picture of a lady up there showing all of her cleavage. And it says pull apart parts. And so the exactly. What does this woman have to do with pull apart parts? So it's an innuendo in there to seduce you. And so it's amazing what society does. And so nudity is one of those things and one of those ways that Satan tries to attract our flesh in a wrong way through the eyes. You don't hear it. Let me see if I can hear someone's nudity. But you can sure be attracted when you see it. And so nudity is one of those things. What else is something that our eyes are attracted to that we normally get tempted to fall into? Is there something? I've got a bunch of stuff written down here. Y'all get it. Is there? Sports could be it.
There you go.
Sports could be it. Some folks may miss coming to church because of a sports game is on.
That's right.
And it could be that thing that I see it and I want to do it. What else?
Uh-huh.
Temptation. Yes, Lillian?
I didn't hardly watch TV, but
A commercial. Amen. Amen. Don't look. Turn away. Amen. I've got down nudity. I've got down advertisements, sales, shopping channels. How many of y'all watch the shopping channels? It can be a temptation if you see that stuff. And they always package these products up. It'll do this. It'll do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it normally has like 50 different functions in one tool. And you think, man, I've got to have that. Then you get it and it's just a bust. Doesn't work. Shopping channels, cars, houses, clothes, shoes. There's so many things that our eyes are attracted to. Think about it. Most things that we are attracted to, oftentimes we actually see it.
Yep.
And not all the time. Some things we smell.
Right.
Some things we hear about. Mm-hmm. But most things we see. And once we see it, it begins to do something to our memory.
Yep.
And we say, I want it. So what happened here? The tempter here has three ways that he's trying to tempt us. One way is the temptation of the flesh. This other one is the temptation of ambition or the eyes. And so he's going to try and do that, which is going to enter our eyes and get us off the plan of attack. It is his to offer, and he's doing that. By the way, Satan wanted Jesus to trade his eternity of ruling and reigning to fall for a moment of temporary power. Amen. And often Christians trade something of eternal value for mere short-term pleasure. Let me read you a statement that's in the book here that I thought was very interesting, especially for a mature Christian. It says this, it's important to realize that not every promotion, not every success, not every business opportunity, not every gift is from the Lord. Many times a man or a woman who was once committed, notice that, once committed to following God's purpose and plan is drawn away from church and God by a new job or a growing business. It goes on to say, we must be wise in evaluating the opportunities that are presented to us from an eternal standpoint so that we are not led to trade eternal rewards for temporal success. So what do you get out of that? Is every promotion, every success, every gift from God? No. We just mentioned, what will Satan try to do? He'll try to give you a substitute.
Yes, sir, he will.
Now, what is, yes, Diana? Exactly.
That's right.
Amen. And they say these two words, every good gift and every perfect gift.
Yep.
Good meaning is beneficial for you, mm-hmm. and it's going to help you. Perfect meaning is going to be a sense of completion or perfection, something that you need. So every good gift and perfect is from God. Now, that's true. But Satan wants to give you that which is not good and that which is not perfect, that which is imperfect or less than perfect. Why? God only wants the good and perfect will of God for your life. Mm-hmm. That's what he wants, the good and perfect will of God. Satan says, well, you can still do the will of God, but it's just not going to be good. It's not going to be perfect. Y'all with me?
Uh-huh.
And so what will he do? Provide a substitute.
Yes, sir, he will.
And it's the same, but it's different. By the way, things that are different are not the same.
That's right.
Is that not what they say about the Bible, Serge? Well, it's still the Bible. It's still God's word.
Yeah.
Really? Amen. By the way, they've got a bunch of generics out there.
Yeah.
There's one rule about generics. Anybody know what that one rule is? So if you've got the original, then you've got a generic. What's the one rule about the generic? What's that? It's never as good, but there's a rule that goes along with that. You're right, it's never as good. Huh? It's only cheaper, but there's another rule. And this is by law. There's a rule. It is a replacement, but there's a law.
It can't be exactly the same.
There's got to be a percentage of difference between the generic and the original. There's got to be a certain, because if it's not, you can't do it. All the Bibles that are out there, they cannot be copyrighted unless there's a significant difference. There's a percentage that has to be different. Otherwise, it's not considered a new thing. Did y'all know that? And so when they make these generics and when they do these Bibles, there's got to be some differences there. And so woe be tied to the one that makes the difference. Amen. Because it's not our job to do that. It's God's job. So we've got to be careful. Satan always wants to give you a substitute. Always. And he'll say, this is just as good. Now, by the way, I'm guilty. I'll go and get a generic instead of getting the regular mouthwash or the regular toothpaste, whatever. I'll look at the label and say, okay, 1% less of this, 1% less of that. Okay, I can deal with 2%. But everything is not that way. Certain things you don't want a substitute. The will of God, there is no substitute. Amen. So be careful. Now, I put down there's three things that you want to look at to test whether a promotion, a success, an opportunity, something that you have coming across your path is that of God. The test is this. Let's go over to Psalm 75. Because our eyes can get us in trouble sometimes. And we talk about this verse quite often when folks get a promotion or something like that. Psalm 75. And Psalm 75, let's look at verses 6 and 7. Promotion cometh neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. So ultimately, who puts people up and who takes people down? Ultimately, it's God. But now, can Satan give us a substitute to take us away, to give us a pseudo position? Yes, he can.
Yes.
There's some factors. The test that I want to take or pull to my life when I look at my eyes and something I see, or my flesh and something that I want. Here it is. The test, will it take me out of the will of God that I know? That's test number one.
Yes, sir.
Will it take me out of the will of God that I know? Number two. Will it take me away from the word of God? Will it take me away from the word of God? Is it going to put me in a position where I'm going to be out of the will of God, or is it going to take me out of the word of God? And then number three, and this one is critical, will it take me out of the house of God? Will it take me out of the house of God? And so those three, you can say, okay, my desire for this ambition or this thing, is it going to take me away from the will of God? Is it going to take me away from the word of God? Is it going to take me away from the house of God? And there are others, but those three are the main three. And you've got to always test that and see. One of the things that Dr. Bruner did when he went down to California, he wanted to see if there's a good church there. So he got some references on some churches to make sure that, hey, when I get down there, will I have a place to go worship the Lord? Why? You want to make sure of that. One of the things that I checked before I came to Tucson, I was on military orders. So it wasn't like I could change my destination. But I said, I want to make sure there's a church there that I can go to when I get there.
Yes, sir.
And I found several. So when you look at this aspect, It's important. Let me read it again. It's important to realize that not every promotion, not every success, not every business opportunity is from the Lord. Many times a man or woman who was once committed to following God's purpose and plan is drawn away from church and by God and God by a new job or a growing business. We must be wise in evaluating the opportunities that are presented to us from an eternal standpoint so that we are not led to trade eternal reward for temporal success. Amen. All right. With that said here, I've got a couple of verses we're going to look at, and then we're going to look at this song that we have here. Turn, first of all, to Proverbs 4:25. Proverbs 4:25, because there are some cures to our eyes. Proverbs 4:25, and this is one of them. And who's got Proverbs 4:25? Read that for me. Proverbs 4, Bev?
Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee.
Amen. Now, in this particular passage, he's talking about looking at the opposite sex here. Making sure that, you get away from people of wickedness. And so he says, if wicked people come by you, be it male, be it female, you want to make sure you do something. If they're doing wickedness, notice verse number 24. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. If I have that type of mentality, perverseness about myself, what type of people am I going to normally attract? Perverse people, birds of a feather flock together. It's not Bible, but it's true. Iron sharpening iron, for a man sharpening counsel with a friend. If I'm going to be moral and lewd or whatever, I'm going to normally attract people like that. Now, oftentimes, good people are attracted to that as well, and vice versa. But I've got to be careful that I keep on the path that God has for me. I go over to Job 31. Job was accused of doing many things here that was not right. And in Job 31, in verse number 1, when it came to the opposite sex, this is what Job said. Job 31, 1, who's got that one? Rose? He said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why should I even think about a maid? I'm not going towards that way. So he said, you guys are accusing me of something that I have not done. And so that is not true. I'll go over to Psalm 101. And Psalm 101 and verse number 4, David makes a vow as well. Psalm 101. And so these are some cures to our eyes that we can actually do. Psalm 101. And notice what it says down here in verse number 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. What is the benefit of not setting anything wicked before your eyes? What's the benefit? I won't have that temptation, at least.
Right.
Am I going to get other temptations? Yes, because there will be things that come across my pathway that I have no control over. How many of y'all got control over billboards? Nobody. How many of y'all got any control of anybody walking down the streets? Nobody.
Nobody.
We don't have any control of any other person. And what is always open unless we're sleeping? Our eyes. Our eyes are always open. So we're going to constantly see. So I've got to actually do like Job said, make a covenant with my eyes and make sure I don't purposely sit something before my eyes or go where I'm going to see something.
Right.
I told y'all the testimony before about one of my Turkish colleagues or my German colleagues. He wanted me to go to a Turkish spa where, you go in, everybody's in there nude. Mm-hmm. And I said, I am not going in there. And he called me a coward. He said, you're a coward. I said, I know myself. I said, I am going to be lured into temptation and temptation thoughts. I said, so why would I go in? I said, furthermore, I'm married. What does a married man have a place doing in there?
Mm-hmm.
He said, you're just a coward, just a chicken. I said, you can call me what you want to. I said, but I'm not going.
Exactly.
And he said, you're just a chicken. You're a coward. If you were a real man, you'd go. I said, real men go to Turkish spas? Real men take their clothes off with other people around? I said, I guess I'm not a real man. I said, I don't care what you call me. You can ridicule me till times get tough. I said, but I am not doing it. Next morning we woke up and I said, how was the spa last night? He said, I didn't go. What did he want?
Companion,
someone to go along with him, someone to help it out. And when I put a stop to it, his conscience, I think, got to the best of him.
Yes, sir.
And he didn't go. But if I went, now I couldn't condemn it because I actually condoned it by going. And so oftentimes people want you to go along with them when they sin. I'll show you one more verse here. Go over to Psalm 19 and verse number 8. Psalm 19 and verse number 8. And notice what the psalmist says here, David, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening what? The eyes, giving me understanding, giving me the wisdom to know what I need to say and what I don't need to say, what I need to see and what I don't need to say. So when you look at this area of the temptation of ambition or the eyes, there's much that the eyes will take in on a daily basis. But there are some preventive measures that you and I can put in place to make sure that we are the masters of our eyes and the eyes aren't the masters of us. Amen. Because if you don't have a mastery of your eyes by the Holy Spirit, guess what? The devil will bring all sorts of things through that you don't need to see, that you will see. Let's take our song out here. I want to show you a couple of verses here. This song, Yield Not to Temptation. Again, we went over stanza number one last week. How many does not have a copy of the song? Any extra copies back there? Stephen, can we get some copies and over here to Susie? Anybody else need a copy? And what I want us to do is look at the lyrics of the song and see if we can get a verse that goes along with this. Okay, we did the first stanza the last time. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onwards, a dark passion subdue, look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. Stanza number two, shun evil companions. What's a verse, a Bible verse that goes along with this song? Shun evil companions. What verse comes to your mind? My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Proverbs 1:10. Let's go over there real quick. Very, very good scripture. Again, I told you last time there's some very good teaching in this song and scriptural references that can go along with this. Proverbs 1:10. Who's got that? Can read that for me? Beth? Amen. So it says, shun evil companions. By the way, when you get saved, and if you start living for God, what will you probably not have to do? Exactly. You won't have to lose your friends because they will lose you. You won't have to shun evil companions. They'll shun you. You start talking about Jesus. You say, preacher, I went back to work. I started telling my colleagues about Jesus and how they need to be saved and how God loves them and how I love the Bible now and I want to go to church. And I stopped getting invited to parties. Mm-hmm. I stopped getting invited to pinochle games. Yep. I stopped getting invited to card games. I stopped getting invited to people's houses. I stopped getting invited out to drink and things like that, which I didn't have a problem with that. Amen. Amen. All the places and all the people that I used to deal with, they stopped inviting me.
Yes, sir, they did.
So as Bev said, I didn't have to lose any friends. They all lost me on purpose. Amen. Just because I was living for God. And it'll happen to you. Amen. Shun evil compassions. Amen. Notice what this next one says. Bad language disdain. What does disdain mean? Hate. A strong dislike, a strong disapproval, a hatred for something. So bad language, disdain. Go over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Anybody got a verse that goes along with that? Bad language, disdain. By the way, should a Christian be known for cursing? No. Now, do some Christians curse?
Yes.
I remember we had some Christian friends over to our house before, and one of the people that was there got excited and slipped and cursed. And they had been saved longer, much, much longer than me. They were old hat at Christianity. And when they cursed, they just turned beet red.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And I looked at him. Now, at this time, I was only saved about 5 years. I looked at him. I thought, you cursed.
Oh, man.
For it to come out of the mouth, where does it have to be? Here and normally here and there. No. The Bible says out of the mouth proceed. And he says they come from the heart. But now I've got to process it up here. And if I'm going to say it, it's got to be on my lips quite loosely or frequently. It's very rare that we say things that we normally don't say. It's kind of reserved. And for him to say that, I thought, ooh, we're supposed to be saved. I'm a baby Christian. I'm like, ooh, you know, wash your mouth out with soap. You know, and he just kind of looked bewildered. And I thought, well, what do I say to him? I'm a baby Christian. He should be consoling me.
Yes, sir.
Bad language to say. Ephesians chapter 4, notice verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace to the hearer. So when it says bad language disdain, we should not let that come out of our mouths. Now, at times are some things going to come out that really shouldn't come out? Yes, we understand that. But we should be man and woman enough to at least be humble about it and apologize. Amen. You know, you scream at your kids or yell at your kids and it's unnecessary. You know, we should be big enough to go back and say, you know what, I'm sorry, little Sue. I'm not you, Sue. Well, I'm sorry, little Sally. You know, I shouldn't have done that. Lost my cool. Yeah. You know, please forgive me. We should be big enough to do something like that.
That's right.
Bad language disdain. We'll just give you one more and then we're going to quit here. God's name hold in reverence. What should come to our minds there? God's name hold in reverence. Nor take it in vain. Yes. One in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Exodus 20, verse 7, I believe. Amen. Let's look at that real quick. So when you look at that, shun evil companions, bad language disdain. That's right. She feels like if you take the Lord's name in vain, that's an atrocity. Amen. That's right. You tell him, Joy. That's an atrocity. Exodus chapter 20. And notice verse number 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So those are some things that really should just pop to our mind. When you look at temptation, this song says, don't yield to it, and it gives you a way to fight against it. And each one of these stanzas here has some biblical references that you can actually place in there to help you out with some of these issues here. So God's name hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. We're going to stop right there for today. And we'll pick up with the rest of that next time we get together. Amen.
Amen.
And trust the Lord to work in our hearts. But yield not to temptation. So far, we're looking at the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes or ambition. Those are two ways that Satan tried to trip up Jesus Christ to get him to sin. Let me give you a memory verse here. Let's go back over to Luke. And we're going to give you that last reference that Jesus Christ gave to Satan, Luke 4 and verse number 12. Luke 4, 12. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So Luke 4, 12 is going to be our memory verse. Amen. Don't forget, awards presentation is next week. And let's leave here and try our best not to yield to temptation, for yielding is sin. Amen. And then we're going to trust God to work in our midst. Amen.